Parshas Noach, guys, 5780. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tesvav is what we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with the size of the teva. The Pasuk says, V'zeh asher taseh osav. This is how you should make it. Shlosh me'os ama orach ha-teva. The length of the teva will be 300 amos. Chamishim ama rachba. It's 50 amos wide. Shloshim ama komasa. Amos komasa. And 30 amos is its height. Now, this was a big, big teva. And I don't want to call it a boat, because truthfully, boat is not the right word for it. An ama is either 18 or 24 inches, either a foot and a half or 2 feet altogether. If so, this teva, let's go with the normal size, is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high altogether. It could have been 600 feet long, 100 feet wide, 60 feet high. To give you a perspective on this, a regular city block, you know where they're all together, 16 of them to a mile. Not like one of the longer blocks, the shorter blocks. One of those blocks is around 310, 315, maybe 320 feet. So we're talking a little bit more than two-thirds of a city block. And if we're talking that it's 600 feet long, then you're dealing with basically one huge block, meaning two blocks together. It would be from here, from Divan all the way up until Arthur, right? That's really what you're dealing with. That's how big the boat was. When you're dealing with 75 feet, 75 feet is also large, 100 feet, even more so. You're dealing with a huge amount of width there and just building it up. This was a massive, massive boat. Of course, it didn't look like a boat. It didn't have the bottom that we normally picture a boat to have. It was built like a house, meaning a flat bottom, walls on the side, and then on top, there were the slopes. It went to El Ama Techelenu Mamala. There was that little Ama thing there, and then slopes on the side so that the rain will fall off. But it did not look like a boat, because the truth is, this was never meant to travel through the seas, to go from one place to the other. It was meant to hold people and save them from the Mabul, but not to do anything else. And it did that. It did exactly that. So why does the Pasuk have to tell us the size of the teva? What's the purpose of telling us something like that? Presumably it was large. We know. Did we need to know that it was an exact size? Was there a purpose to knowing that it was 300 by 50 by 50 by 30? Is there a real purpose behind that? So the Kliyakar says yes. One, to tell you how miraculous this was. There are animals that would not be able to fit in a normal teva this size. Just simply put, if the second floor was 10 amos tall, which is 15 feet tall, a giraffe cannot fit there. Giraffes are 16 to 17 feet tall. It wouldn't have been able to fit. So yes, it's possible for it to have moved. It's possible for it sitting down the whole year. But a regular animal should not have fit in. Says the Kliyakar, there were rhinoceros. There were elephants. There were other animals which were huge that somehow made it on. Somehow they were able to make it inside. Says the Kliyakar, this is done on purpose to tell you that nonetheless, every single animal fit, even though this was a finite size. It shouldn't have been enough. It was enough. The Ibn Ezra says it's possible it's not like that. It may be that the teva is actually bigger than we think. We look at an ama as a foot and a half to 2 feet because that's the normal amount that you have from your elbow to the middle finger, the ama finger, which is the middle finger. That's how big an ama is. But maybe Noach was larger. And if Noach was larger, his ama would have been bigger than a normal ama. The assumption the Ibn Ezra makes here is that the ama of Noach is bigger, but the animals were the same size. So even though it seems like the ama, it should have been 10 amos, which is 15 feet between floors, it could be that Noach's ama was bigger. So really, it was 40 feet, 50 feet in between, which makes the teva even larger, the size of a couple of blocks. But still, it makes it easier to be able to have animals in there. Says David Ezra, in Pashup Shot, that's what I would tell you. In Pashup Shot, I would tell you that the ama was a little bit off. Another answer, he says, there were multiple boats. He didn't build just one teva. He had multiple boats. Now, it seems like if that Ibn Ezra is true, it doesn't seem like the people were on different boats. It seems like they were towed to one another. But there were multiple boats that he made, multiple tevas that he made to allow for it to be. So according to Ibn Ezra's point is it didn't have to be a miracle. It wasn't necessarily miraculous. They all fit in because they were able to get there. But the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya both say this was absolutely a massive miracle. He says it's ridiculous to tell me that the teva was built based on Noach's Amma. Because why would the Torah have to tell me that if the Ammas are nothing like the Ammas that we have today? What's the point in telling me any of this if we have no idea what size Noach was dealing with over here? He says, that can't be it. And since the animals, again, were so huge, and he said, forget about the largeness of the animal. The fact is there are so many different types of animals, just rats and mice and rabbits, etc. If you're bringing two of each onto the teva, no teva, even if it would have been 50 times larger, would have been big enough to be able to hold all the animals. Just the birds. The Gemara tells us how many different species of birds there are that are tame in a certain place, and the taller birds are more than that. He says, it's absolutely ridiculous to think this way. There's no way it should have fit everything. Here was the deal. If it fit into the teva, somehow it was fine. It was able to get in, and the teva just grew miraculously on the inside. Says the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's how it fit in all these animals, and it's called mu'at machzik as a meruba. The little bit was able to hold, right? It was able to hold onto so many things that were inside it, similar to the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Aron Kodesh. Says the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, it was absolutely a miracle, and that's like the Kli Yakar, what the Kli Yakar was saying. If so, they asked, then why not make the teva smaller and make a massive miracle? In other words, if you're relying on miracles anyway, so why build this block-long teva, right, and rely on a miracle? Build a tiny little boat. Build a boat that's 50 by 50, right, and have that be your teva, and that's that. Why are you building this massive, massive thing just to have everything fit inside, and that's fine. Just do that, and then it'll all go through. Says the Ramban, it's important to know when it comes to Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu memayit all miracles as much as possible. He minimizes as much as miracles as you can. He had to make a teva that all animals could, in theory, fit into. That as long as they were going to fit in, it was going to be okay. But just in case there were worries, if it's not possible, if it wasn't possible for that to happen, and all the animals couldn't fit in, then in theory, right, you'd have a problem. So the Ramban is saying, at some point you need to have some size that they can get into, but you don't have to have it so huge that you can mamish fit every animal in. You can rely on a miracle somewhat, but not all the way through. There's more to it, obviously. I'm boiling it down. Has anybody heard of the Drushas Aran? The famous Drushas Aran in Parshas Noach? The Ran has in his Drushas an idea in which he says that he goes into a concept called adaptation. That although most of the animals out there, right, we can see there's many different types. For example, there are 8-9 different types of bears out there in the world. We're looking at brown bears and black bears and polar bears and panda bears and sun bears and spectacle bears and all the different types of bears. Says the Ran, there were two types of bears that made it onto the teva. And after the mabul was over, they were sent out to the respective places and they adapted to their surroundings. So the polar bears became white and lived in the Arctic area. The sun bears went to a certain area. I think the sun bears are from Malaysia. They went to those areas in Southeast Asia, and they became these smaller bears, darker, with like a little thing, light thing on the inside. Brown bears and black bears got bigger, and they moved up north. But there were two bears on the teva, and they came off, and then they went around. Yeah, Shia, what's up? It's not evolution. It's a little bit different from evolutionary theory, and I'm not denying whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world through evolution. But the idea behind Lamarckism, Lamarck believed in adaptation. That's the idea that came before Charles Darwin and evolution. Adaptation was already said by the Drushas Aran before Lamarck came up with it in the 1800s. This is all the way. I mean, the Ran is dealing with the late 1300s, early 1400s. That's when the Ran came up with this concept. This idea was already there before. And the truth is, the Greeks already came up with such a concept before when they still believed in God. But this idea is still there. But whether or not evolutionary theory is true within the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu making the world, I don't want to get into. In theory, it could be, right? But you'd have to, not the way that Charles Darwin says it's true, with random mutations and God isn't involved. That definitely is not true. But the way that we could work with that idea, it could be it's like that. But for sure, the way the Ran is saying it is some form of adaptation, something like that. The second reason that the Kli Yakar gives is because this shows why the mabul really happened. The idea behind this is why it happened. The people of his time were into znus. And this is an awesome idea within the realm of the teva and these numbers, etc., stuff like this. Toward the end of last week's parsha, it says that the Bnei Elohim saw the Bnos Adam and sinned with them. So clearly there was znus going on, and men were being together with women that they shouldn't have been together with. If you've been to any Sheva Brachos ever in your life, you know that the word ish and isha is used, and they tell you that if you have the yud and the hey together, and they work together, if you have a Kaddish Baruch Hu involved in your marriage, then it becomes Ish and Isha. And if you take out the Yud and you take out the Hey, then it becomes Aish and Aish. And there's a ball of fire and nothing good ends up happening from there. You have to have the Yud and you have to have the Hey for it to work together. Says the Kli Yakar, with Znus and with this going on, with men and women not, I guess, holding on to their vows that they made with one another, that took away the Yud and the hay that they had within their names. They were no longer Ish and Isha, they were filled with Esh. This is the reason, says the Kliyukr, why the waters reached 15 Amos, 1.5 Amos, above the highest mountain. The 15 is Bedavka, because it's Yud and Hey. It's because they were doing Znus. This is what happened. This is the result of that idea. It was, the waters were Misgaber over the land. They were strengthening themselves upon the land. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it was Misgaber. The waters were Misgaber over the land for 150 days. That is 15 tens. The idea is 15 altogether. The total area of the Teva, the 300 by 50 by 30, you take the total area, it's 15,000, 300 times 50 is 15,000 square amos. 15,000 square amos per floor, we'll call it. 15,000 amos is obviously 15 times times 1,000. You have the idea of 15 being used over and over and over again. Even the 30, which is divisible by 15, has the idea of being divisible in that area where you have 15 being included again and again and again and again. That's the idea behind it. Therefore, there's a concept that Yud Hey was the reason for why the Mabul happened. The Teva had to represent that shame, Yud Hey, that number 15. It somehow had to get together over there. The Chassam Sofer talks about this as well. He brings the same idea of Chizkio HaMelech. Those who know Navi know, the Chizkio HaMelech, when he was king for quite a while, he had not gotten married. Can you imagine this? A tzaddik of his generation who caused the entire Bnei Yisrael to be into Torah. His father was a Rasha. Ahaz was a Rasha. And he got into Torah. He got everybody else into Torah. The people of his time were such Talmidei Chachamim, they couldn't find an Amah Aretz. They couldn't find an Amah Aretz who didn't know Tumah V'Tahara throughout the entire land. Chizkio got everybody in. And he's sick and dying when Sennacherib had surrounded the city. Sick and dying. And Yeshayahu Navi comes to visit him. And he says, what's going on? Yeshayahu Navi tells him, write your will, because you're going to die in this world, and you're not going to get into Olam Haba. You lost your chelik in Olam Hazeh, and your chelik in Olam Haba. You lost everything. Why? Said Chizkio HaMelech. Why? Because you didn't get married. Said Chizkio HaMelech. I didn't get married because I saw my children. I saw through my Ruach HaKodesh. We're talking about a Navi. A guy who saw through Ruach HaKodesh and said, my child is going to be evil. Menashe was going to be evil. He's going to burn Sifrei Torah. He's going to put a tzelem in the Heichel. He's going to put an idol inside the Heichel. He said, I don't want to have a child like that. So I didn't want to have any children. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu said to him, Bahadi Kavshit Rahman Ulamalach, why do you have to deal with the dealings of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something. He told you you're supposed to get married. So you get married. Bahadi Kavshit Rahman Ulamalach. What are you getting involved in all these issues that you think, well, I don't want to worry about my kid. Don't get involved in such things. He told him, you're supposed to do it. So Yeshaya said, I'm willing to get married now. Willing to get married now. And Chizkio said, I'm willing to get married now. And Yeshaya told him, it's too late. You're going to die. To which Chizkio HaMelech said, Ben Amotz, said to Yeshaya Navi, Ben Amotz, son of Amotz, Kalei Nivuas Chavitzei, finish up your nevuah and get out of here. Kach mukublani beis avi abba. This is why I accepted from my grandfather's house, from David HaMelech. Afilu cherev chadu munachas al tzavar shalom. Even if there's a sharp sword on the neck of a person, even then, never stop davening. Never stop davening. And he told him, he said, I can't believe, at that moment, he was given 15 extra years of life. 15! Says the Kliyukr, it's the same exact thing over here. His punishment was to lose this world and the next. Isn't that pretty steep for not getting married? It's an asay, not getting married. So even if it's an avera to not get married, because he could have and he didn't get married, even if you say that that's an avera that he was able to do and he refused to do it, nonetheless, he loses this world and the next for it. He had a good reason also. This world and the next, and he says, yes. Because Yud Hey, which is the Ish and the Isha, the Yud and the Hey, the Yud stands for Olam Hazeh. Yud, wait, no, the opposite, right? Yud stands for Olam Haba, and the Hey stands for Olam Hazeh. Everybody's heard that little thing. You go in, it's easy to get in, but you can fall out really easily. That's Olam Hazeh, and the Yud stands for Olam Haba. When you do things in the proper way and you bring in the Yud and the Hey from an Isha and an Isha, then you're Zochet Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But you didn't. So he lost his Yud and he lost his Hey. He lost both of them. When he did Tshuva and he decided he was going to marry Yeshaya's daughter and he ended up doing Tshuva and he still had his child Menashe, but when he decided he was going to do that, he was added on 15 years of life. Says the Kliyukr, that's why 15. That's why he almost lost his Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That's where it comes out. So it seems Dor HaMabul can be it can be applied for them as well. They messed up the yud and the hay of proper marriages. They messed up of what it's supposed to be, and therefore the waters were 15 amos above all of them. David HaMelech realized this as well. Anybody remember that Gemara with David HaMelech when he wanted to dig into the Shisin, right, in order to build up the Beis HaMikdash? Dug into the Shisin, and when he got there, the Tehomos wanted to surround the whole world, and he sat there and he said, what am I supposed to do? And he had to put a shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on top of it. He said, 15 Shir HaMalos. He said, 15 Shir HaMalos, and he was able to bring the waters down, because the number is 15. The Mabul was originally going to happen because of Arias, because of Eishes Ish. So he said those 15 Shir HaMalos to calm it down, because it's all in that number 15, and that's why the Teva had to have the number 15 throughout it. That's how the Kli Yakar answers. It may not have mattered. The Medrash Rabbah says in this week's Parsha, Perek Lamed Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, that Noah could not understand what he was supposed to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him the rules, 300 by 50 by 30. I want you to think from our perspective, there are no real tools at the times of Noah that we know of. No real tools. And he's told to build a teva that's a city block long, a block and a half, I should say, long. He sat there and he said, how in the world am I supposed to do this? How am I going to build it 30 amos high? I'm one man. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And you're not allowing me to ask other people, right? You don't want me to get other people involved. You want me to tell them about it, but you told me to do it. He said, how in the world is he going to do it? He was so confused. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't handle it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell him, Zeh Asher Tasosa. This is what you have to make. Whenever it says the word Zeh in the Torah, it's pointing to something. That's why we do Vizosa Torah, Asher Sam Moshe, where you're supposed to point with your right pointer finger. I know some people use their pinky, right? But right pointer finger, according to the Shir HaShirim Rabbah, and you bring it out right over there, and you point at it, and you say, this is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us. So too, Zeh Asher Tasosa. He was shown the Teva, and he was still confused. He said, I still don't get it. I don't know what to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Teva for him. I don't know if that means that he worked on it for 120 years, wasn't really getting anywhere, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu just finished it off for him and started the Mabul. I have absolutely no idea. Or if it meant that even in day one, Noach was being helped every time he did something. He took a hammer and he wanted to hit it that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the hammer and made it go that way. I have absolutely no idea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved by every single thing, and that's what it means by the word Taaseh. We see this by the menorah as well. Does anybody remember by the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu had no idea how to make the menorah. No clue. He told Rabbi Bezalel. Bezalel wasn't sure what to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in the, he said, just put it in the fire. He put the gold in the fire. Out came the menorah on its own. Without them doing anything, the menorah popped out of the fire and came in front of them. The exact same thing happened right over here. And maybe that's why this teva survived. Listen, the boiling hot, scalding waters that were all around, although the Tosfos and Zvachim says that the waters right around the teva were soft and cold, that's how Og was able to survive it, and maybe the Ra'im, right? Tosfos says that the waters right around it. But you're dealing with crazy waters all over the place. Even if you have all the pitch in the world and everything you did, how is this able to make it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished it off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's my teva. And since it was his teva, everything worked. There's Minchas Shmuel. It's written in the Otzer Plos HaTorah, and it's the first time that I've seen such a thing, says that there was another man that made his own teva. There was a guy, like somebody was convinced, but he didn't want to listen to Noach. So instead of doing tshuva, he just said, listen, I'm going to hedge all my bets here. I'm going to hedge it all. I'm going to make a boat. I'm not going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I'm going to have a boat just in case. So he built his own boat right next to Noach's, waiting for the waters to come. And when the rain started coming and Noach went in the table, he was like, I'm out. He got into his own boat and sat inside there. But it was destroyed. Says the Pasuk, Vayishoer Ach Noach. Only Noach survived. From there, we see that Og survived as well. But Ach Noach means the other guy that built his other boat, that had his other boat that was going on the sea, that boat was destroyed. Noach's boat survived, perhaps not only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly involved in it and made it happen. Maybe that's the idea behind it. Nonetheless, these numbers are meduyik. The Bereishis Rabbah says that if you want to make a boat according to these dimensions, it's always going to be the best. The width should be 1/6 of the length. I have no idea. I tried looking up the dimensions of different those yachts that they have nowadays, like the huge cruise boats. If it's 1/6, is the width 1/6 of its length? Some of them, yeah, some of them are off a little bit. But 1/6 of its length, that's how long it should be in order to have the best ability to go through. And he says it's possible for the height as well. The height should be 1/10 of the total length as well. And that, again, because you have 300 amos long, 30 amos high, that's 1/10. 50 amos wide, that's 1/6. What are you going to say, Dave?
It depends on what the boat's being used for. The hulls are built depending on what you want. Like, thinner hulls cut waves, wider hulls are more stable.
But the total, let's say the longest width, or the longest width, you know, the biggest width in the middle, I guess he's saying should be 1/6 of the total length. It's proportional depending on how much you want to go. Maybe it depends on the type of waters you're traveling on also. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But that's the idea behind it. It says something there. The Shach also says the numbers are Medjik. 300 is the gematria of Berachamim. Berachamim is the gematria of 300 altogether. So he could get a kapara for it. And he goes on. He talks about the 50th level that Noach was on, and that's number 50, and goes on. There's a Medrash Haggadah that I do not understand whatsoever. If anybody wants to look it up, it's brought by the Torah Shlema. I think he's totally off. I think the years are totally off there. I don't know what the mistake is, but I think there's a real mistake there. But then comes the Mashiloch, the Ishbitzer. Listen to this, because this is a really, really good idea that comes from it. 300, 50, and 30. 300 is the gematria of a shin. 30 is the gematria of a lamed. 50 is the gematria of a nun. Lamed, shin, and nun is lashon. Lashon, says the Me'ashi Loch. Lashon is in speaking out the right things and using your tongue for the right things. He says, this parsha tells us what to do to escape the everyday issues that we get into. There are times where people get into lashonos, conversations that they probably shouldn't get themselves into. We can use that as lashon hara. We can use it as just things that are inappropriate. We can use it as, just simply put, a type of conversation that really just is not going anywhere. Even if it's just a sports conversation, you're not doing anything with it, right? There's nothing that you're gaining from going around. Says the Me'ashi Loach, the point of the teva is to use your words correctly. The teva obviously could be called a boat. It could have been called a sfina, but it's called a teva to say, use your tongue and your words properly and speak out the right things that a person should have. Says Rav Shor, Rav Avram Shor, the idea behind it is Alekech Ve'alibuv, the real chait of the Dor HaMabul. And again, I never would have understood it this way. I would have gone a totally different direction. We know what they did. Arayos, and as well as Gezel. We know those were the issues. But says the Rav Shor, the real sin was with their mouths. They spoke out lies. They said Lashon Hara. Perhaps that's where the Gezel came from. As well as illicit things that shouldn't be said. And at first, they only said these things. They talked about things that shouldn't be talked about. They talked about Arias. And they talked about taking things from other people. They spoke out lies. And eventually, it led them to doing things which were inappropriate. It led them to stealing things that they never should have stolen. At first, it was something innocent, something normal, something small. And it got worse and worse and worse, where their actions followed their words. I don't know if anybody's had this experience themselves, where they talk about something, and it becomes easier to do. The Chidush HaRim says, you want to do tshuva? Say it 3 times. He says that's the Shalshelis by Yosef at Tzaddik, when it says, Vayimah'ein, he refused to be with Eshes Potiphar. He said, no, no, no. Because if you stop yourself and you say 3 times, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, it affects you. And if that's true about stopping yourself from doing an Avera, says the Chiddush HaRim, Chas V'Shalom, it can cause you to do an Avera as well. If you say 3 times or 4 times or 5 times that I want to do something, you say that, then all of a sudden it makes you more into it. It brings down the bad thing in your eyes because you think like, well, it's not that bad, is it? Is it really that bad? If you say it over and over and over again, says Rav Shor, the pagam that they had in their bris on their lashon, the bris that they made, the covenant they made with their own tongues, affected their bris mila, the bris in the other place. The Maral is famous on this. You have 2 eyes that connect with each other. You have 2 nostrils that connect with each other. You have 2 ears that connect with each other. 2 hands, 2 feet, but 1 mouth. 1 mouth. What happened? And Chazal tell us that the mouth is connected to another area of the body, another area of the body down below. And therefore, the same way when a person eats improperly, speaks improperly, the result is something improper in that area of the body as well. That something could happen there. And that's the concept over here. That using your lashon improperly, taking your lamed shin nun and using it improperly, leads to only the worst things in that area of the body. So what does it mean, says Rav Shor? It means these people were speaking out things they shouldn't have done. And therefore they were doing arayas. And therefore they were stealing from one another with their eishes ish and with other things as well. The result, what was the tikkun? How could you fix that up? What are you going to do to make it better? Well, that's obvious, isn't it? How do you fix it up? What are you going to do to make this any better? It's obvious. Your protection is to make a teva to improve on your lashon, to improve on what you had. So the idea is that Noach would know what the tikkun would be. The lashon was the size of the teva, which is how to use your words. The lamed shin nun was how to use your lashon correctly, and that would change everything. Now everything's going to be better. And that's the reason why he says, I don't know if you've heard this before, the line, Maves v'chayim biyad lashon, death and life is in the hands of your tongue. Maves v'chayim biyad lashon, mem vav, right? Biyad lashon, beis lamed is mabel. It's mabel. The mabel comes from the mouth itself. So the Tiferes Yonah and the Damsker, and I just met somebody today who's a great grandson, told me he was a great 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 grandson. Oh, this is the Mishulach that I offered candy to, thinking that it was just another Halloween trick or treater. And I got to go, it's okay. But either way, regardless, right? This Mishulach came in, a great great great, whatever it is, grandson from the Radomsker told me, we were going over different things, but this is the Radomsker, the Radomsker, the Tiferes Shlomo says that Noach's sin here was with his Lashon, that he didn't daven for the Dor HaMabul. Look at what happened. The Lashon of the generation around him caused him to affect his own Lashon, where he didn't daven for them. And therefore, the size of the Teva was specifically Lamed Shin Nun. Specifically that amount. The letters after Lamed Shin Nun are Stam. Samach Tof Mem. Stam, because he closed his mouth and didn't daven for them. And the letters before are Kerem. What's the first thing that Noach did when he got off the Teva, aside from making his Mizbeach? The vineyard. He went for the vineyard and ended up making that vineyard, which obviously was problematic. Okay, that's the first part about what Lashon means. But then the Me'ash Shalach goes on and he says that it's really b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha, but that's another thing for another time, not for right now. There's an Igret HaKala. Says, and now we're getting into a little bit more esoteric, but I'm 40 now, so it should be okay, right? So the Igret HaKala says, since this Teva represented survivors, it represented the people that were going to make the new world, in order to make a new world, you needed the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, known as Yudkei Vavkei. In order to get a surviving Mabul, in order for everything to work, you need Hashem's name. It needed its own shame of ayah in the teva itself, because everything in the world connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for this reason, the size of the teva itself represents Hashem's name. So check this out. This is an unbelievable line. It's brought down by the Igret HaKala, brought down by Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, and it's brought down by the Yalkut Ruveni in number 35 in this week's parsha. Yud K Vav K. What is Yud times Hey? 10 times 5. 10 times 5 is 50. That's the width of the teva itself. Okay, next. The next letter, 50, that you have, Yud times Hey is 50, times Vav. What's 50 times 6? 300. You now have the length of the teva. Length of the teva. And the last two letters, Vav times Hey. What's Vav times Hey? 6 times 5 is? 30. All three, length, width, and height, are hinted to in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Yud times Hey is the width. Yud times Hey times Vav is the length. And Vav Hey is the height. Isn't that an unbelievable idea? An unbelievable idea. He says that's the pshat beyond what's going on over here. If you go on, he says you can go even further. He says Lamed, the 30 that you have, times the last Hey. If you do Hey Vav and then the last Hey, what's 30 times 5? 30 times 5 altogether is? 150, the amount of days that the water was going crazy on the earth. And he goes on, he says, all of this is all from that shame of Yudkei Vavkei. The Tiferes Yonasan adds from the Arizal that the last hay on its own represents the Amah above. And that, Rabbi Yonasan says, is something that's a secret that we don't talk about, making the height of the Teva really 31 Amos. Chesed Kel Kol Yom Aleph Lamed is 31, that the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through every day. And that idea is what the Teva represented. But there's so much more. The Igret HaKala, okay, the Rebbe Medinov, says that the three numbers, 300 plus 50 plus 30, right, those three numbers are all together 380. 380 is the gematria of Shalom with its four letters. 376, and the four letters are altogether 380. He said, this is going to cause the world to be at rest and peace with each other. So the numbers again were meduyak. It's specifically 350 and 30 to make it that this would be the final piece of everything. And then comes the Malbin. The Malbin, you should know, sometimes will give a piece where you look at the Chumash and you see everything normal, and he'll tell you something that's a secret that nobody else will talk about. I found this also in the Nitzutzei Shimshin, Rav Shimshin Astropolio, and the Megalia Mukos. They all explain the following idea. Havaya stands for what's happening in this world. Yudke Vavke stands for what's happening in this world and what will be renewed in our world. Adnus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the name of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, how we pronounce Yudke Vavke, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud represents Shmira and Ashgacha. So again, Havaya means renewal. Adnus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is that Shmira that we need. He says, if you do the following, if you combine Yudke Vavke with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you'll also get the Teva. Look at this. First letter of both words, Aleph and Yud. Okay? Aleph and Yud. So that's Aleph of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Yud altogether. Aleph and Yud is 10. 1 times 10 is 10. Second letters, Dalid of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Hey. Okay? Dalid and Hey. What's 4 times 5? 20. 20 plus 10 is 30. So you have from Yud and Hey, Aleph and Dalid, you put those together, you get 30, you have the height of the Teva. Let's go to the next one. Nun. What's the third letter of Yudke Vavke? Above. 50 times 6 is what? 300. You have the length of the Teva. The last letters, Yud of Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, and a Hey of Yudke Vavke. Okay? So you have, again, you have a Yud and a Hey. Yud times Hey is 50. So within those names, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, if you take those numbers and you multiply them, you add the first two together, and then the second and the third, you have 50 from the last letters, 300 from the second to last letters, and the combination of the first two letters of each is altogether 30. You have the height, you have the length, you have the width. From that combination, says the Malbim, the concept is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put himself into the Teva. These numbers are so meduyik, they exist within the realm of his name, Yudke Vavke, and within Yudke Vavke and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And that is, you want to call that an amazing coincidence? You can call it an amazing coincidence. I think you're a fool. That is absolutely unbelievable that they're able to find and go together. And obviously, there's so much more to this. If you look up the Abir Yaakov on the subject, this is the Baba Sali's grandfather. The Abir Yaakov wrote two svarim, one called the Pituchei Chosam and one called the Machsof HaLavan. Both of them speak about this in different ways, and that's way too much for me to get into. But the Machsof HaLavan and the Pituchei Chosam both go into this, and they're awesome pieces that are into this. And he's saying this is how the world exists. The world runs through this name of Yudke Vavke and through the name of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And combining them, this is what you come out with. It's an absolute amazing, amazing piece. Okay, another subject, Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe Feinstein asked in Darash Moshe, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu first tell Noach, I'm going to destroy the land, and then told him, build a Teva, and then tell him, because there will be a Mabul. Here's what he should have done. I'm going to destroy the land through a Mabul, therefore make a Teva. But he didn't. I'm going to destroy the land, make a Teva, I'm doing a Mabul. It's weird. It's the opposite type of order. Says Reb Moshe, the reason why is simple. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I'm making a Mabul, therefore you should make a Teva, then why is Noach building the Teva? To save himself from the Mabul. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and this is a bracha that we get every single day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first told him, build a Teva. Did not tell him why. Didn't tell him why. Build a Teva. And afterwards said, by the way, there's going to be a Mabul. So it becomes a mitzvah asay, where Noach will build a Teva without knowing the reason for it, the reason why, even though it was told to him afterward. But the concept is that he was told, the mitzvah is to build a Teva, do it, no matter what, even if it doesn't make any sense to you, build it, and later on you'll know why. Says Reb Moshe, that's how everything goes in our world. That's how everything goes in our world. We never fully understand why we have a mitzvah. Do we have Shorashia mitzvah in the Minchas Chinuch? Yes. Do we have Mori Nevuchim explaining to us the reasons for mitzvahs? Yes. But that's not the real reason for any mitzvah. Every mitzvah is there because Hashem told us to do it, period. We have a tzivui, we do what Hashem tells us to do, and if we understand it, awesome. But that's not why I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm keeping shatness right now, and I have this shatness tested. This suit is shatness tested. Oh, it already faded out. But I have this suit shatness tested because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me I have to check my suit for shatness. Why? Why do I have to worry about wool linen? I have no clue. I have absolutely no idea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to keep kashrus. Why? I really, really want to try a cheeseburger. I think they look amazing. No? No? That's not yours? Okay, seafood? Is anybody into seafood? You want that? Seafood, shrimp? Yeah? Is that okay? The McDonald's French fries? Anybody into that? I mean, they tell me, we got Emma's. Those French fries are amazing, right? But McDonald's French fries? But I'm not. Why? Why aren't I doing that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to. Oh, because it's unhealthy? I didn't say it's unhealthy. They probably aren't, but that's not why. I'm doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to. Says Ramosha. On purpose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build a teva. And then afterward told him, by the way, there's going to be a mabul. It's not the reason why you're building the teva. You're building the teva because I told you to do it. But there's also going to be a mabul. Tzapnas Paneach, this is the Rugachev Rebbe, says it's included. It's a mitzvah saseh, and Noach was told, make it as a mitzvah. This was a specific mitzvah for Noach himself. To that, the Tzapnas Paneach asks the Kasha, he says, shame definitely helped. Does anybody know how we know that shame helped? I know you could look at the sheet, but don't look at the sheet. Do you have any idea how we know shame helped build the Teva? He helped build it? In Sukkah, Nun Beis Amad Aleph, it mentions the Harashim. There are carpenters out there in the world. Mashiach's a carpenter, Eliyahu Navi's a carpenter, and shame is known as a carpenter. How is he a carpenter? Because he helped Noach build the Teva. He's known as a carpenter, right? Because he helped Noach build the Teva. So Tzapnas Paneach asks, here's Akasha. Why was shame allowed on the Teva? Because he was under the age of 100. And back then, under the age of 100 was like being under the age of bar mitzvah. Right? So under 100 is like you're a kid. If Noach was commanded to build the Teva, could he be yotzei that chiyuv through a kid? Could shame do it? So what was shame allowed to do? Was shame allowed to build the Teva with him? That's the Akasha that he asks. Yeah. Is he allowed to assist? Meaning, if he wants to hand him a hammer, then I can get it. But if his mom is doing it, is he allowed to do it or not?
Well, why wouldn't he? He's allowed to go on the teva also.
He's allowed to go on. He wasn't told to build it. Noach was told, "Asei lecha teva zatzi gober." It's for you, meaning you have to make it. So maybe shame is not mechuyev. So Tzapnas Paneach talks about that. What's up? That's a chiyuv. That is a chiyuv. Well, let me ask the question. Did you make a bracha before you built your sukkah? Did you say bracha to Hashem alkinam achlam asher kedusham selz venu alas, you know, asiyah sukkah? You don't, right? You do it later on because it's a leishev. So in theory, the making of the sukkah is the hachana for the mitzvah of leishev. I can't sit in the sukkah unless I build it. So therefore, I have to build it in order to have that. But the real mitzvah is the sitting in the sukkah. But here, the mitzvah was the building, not to be in the teva. The mitzvah is the actual building of the teva. So I think that might be different. That may be a difference between them.
But it doesn't say he has to build the entire table.
That's aseilecha tevas hatzigofer, which the Rugged Trevor is saying means you. You have to do it. Although aseilecha means make for yourself. Sounds like not for anybody other person. Right. But we know that other people are included. So aseilecha means you have to do it. Yeah.
Can't you just say that he helped build all the water traffic?
Maybe he did that. Maybe. I don't have a raya. The Rugged Trevor says it's Akasha. It's Akasha. And that Ayala Sashachar also asks, he says, did it have to be this size? He had a mitzvah to build the teva. Was it a requirement to be 350-30? Or could it have been a different size? Let's say he built it 301-49-28. Would he still be yotzei the mitzvah? Maybe it wouldn't even save him. Maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to get involved and make sure it was perfect. Maybe he had to get involved for that reason. That already Ayel Shaka goes through and says, what's going to be over here? We're going to end with this Shorah Mor. Sora Mora says, Chazal say that Noach was partly to blame for the mabul itself. Why was he partly to blame? He didn't daven for the people. He should have davened for them. And we mentioned that up above. He should have said something what's going to be. And that's why the pasuk says, Asei lecha teva satzi gofer. You're only asking for yourself. You're asking for yourself. You want a teva so you can survive? Fine. Make it for yourself. Nobody else there. No, we didn't know that. We only know that because the pitch on the inside and outside that was not like Moshe. And yeah, Lidorosov. First of all, the first pshat in Lidorosov is telling you he is like Avraham Avinu. He's even greater than Avraham Avinu. The second pshat, you're right. If he would have been in the door of Avraham Avinu, lo yo nechshav l'klum, says Rashi. The way the Gemara says is a little bit different. But you're right, according to that second pshat. But what do you mean? How are you allowed to paskin that way? We have a, you know, that's what Noach is blamed. You have 120 years to do it. And I'm just going to ask, I mean this as well. Avram also gave up. Avram gave up. Avram said, are there 50? Are there 45? Are there 40, 30, 20, 10? But he gave up.
Yes, but then if you see the puzzle, every time he says, of course, Baruch, please forgive me.
Agreed. Agreed. But Avram also gave up. Even though he davened, he also gave up. So I'm asking, how do we know? How do we know there was something there? Now, I will tell you, the reason why I'm saying this is because the Rabbeinu Bechaya actually says that he wasn't allowed to daven for them because he knew they didn't have 10 tzaddikim. And if there was less than 10 tzaddikim, therefore you don't daven for them. He said he wasn't allowed to. The wording of the Rabbeinu Bechaya is, shalo haya rishai li spal alayim. He wasn't permitted to daven for them. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, everybody who says that he was blamed for this, it's wrong. He was never blamed. There was nothing he could do. Avram Avinu didn't know. So he davened. But when he got lower than 10, he said, okay, there's nothing I can do. That's amazing. That already is amazing. So I hear it. That's Rabbeinu Bechaya. But the Tzvora Mor says he was responsible. He was to blame. He is not as good as Moshe who davened for Klal Yisrael. He's not as good as Avram who davened for Sodom and for others as well. He wasn't there. And therefore the Mabul is called Mei Noach in the Haftorah of this week's Parsha. It's called Mei Noach, the waters in Noach, because he caused the waters to come in. He didn't give up his life to try to get the people to survive. He didn't help them in that way. And therefore, the Torah goes at length to go into the size of the teva. It tells you 300 by a 50 by 30. Why does it go into it? Says the Torah more to give him more time to think to daven for the people. When we would look at it and he'd say, wait a second, and this is how we're going to end. Can you imagine the third floor, right? Every floor is altogether 300 by 50, right? What was on the bottom floor? Do you remember what was on the bottom floor? The garbage and the food, right? What was on the middle floor? The animals, right? The mammals or whatever it is. What was on the top floor? Noach and his family. He was living in an area that was, think about this, 300 almost, 450 feet by 50 feet. Does anybody have a house that's that big? You have a house that's 450 by 50 feet? 450 by 50 feet? That's a huge house. He had extra room to fit more people on top of there. He should have immediately said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know it's three floors. The top floor is for people, right? Oh, good. I just need to stretch my legs, you know? Like, I need to move my arms. Or I need to have a lot of room. Can you imagine that? He had room to fit hundreds of people up there. Thousands of people. Thousands. Now, I know, Chazal also say the birds might have been on the top floor. Granted, there could have been birds there as well. But the point that he was told, says the Tzvora Mor, that he should have realized, as soon as he heard the size, should have said, well, what's with the people? I have way more than enough room up there. I have enough room to fit 1,000 people up there. Why don't I bring more people in? And he didn't ask for it. He didn't say it. Says the Tzvora Mor, that was his fault. That was his fault. That's why it's called Mei Noach, and that's why only he and his family were saved. It was a punishment that he wasn't on that level. What an unbelievable idea from the Torah. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos.